Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a story that keeps coming back to haunt us, and that is the perennial euro crisis, now growing worse by the day while Europe's policymakers enjoy their long August vacation. Dimitri Papadimitriou, the president of the Levy Economics Institute, joins us to discuss the accelerating run on the euro as citizens in poorer nations move their money to Germany, making it impossible for Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Ireland to cover their losses. Then we'll look into the latest report by the Pew Research Center that finds the American middle class has shrunk by 10% from 1971 to 2010, while only the upper income group has increased their share of the national wealth up to 46% from 29% in 1971. Meanwhile, the lower income group rose 29% of all adults, up from 25%. Branko Milanović, a lead economist with the World Bank and author of The Haves and Have-Nots, A Brief and Idiosyncratic History of Global Inequality, joins us. Then finally, we will speak with George Farrar, who is the founder and executive director of Open Debates, an organization working to reform the presidential debates. We will discuss how the Republican and Democratic parties took the debates away from the nonpartisan League of Women Voters and have since rigged the system to weaken the format, limit the number of debates, and exclude third-party candidates. And joining us now is Dimitri Papadimitriou, the president of the Levy Economics Institute and Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He has testified on a number of occasions in hearings of Senate and House of Representatives committees of the U.S. Congress and was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress and was a member of the Competitive Policy Council's Subcouncil on Capital Allocation. He has an article in The Nation, Europe's Highway to Hell. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dimitri Papadimitriou.
Thank you very much.
And we've spoken quite a bit over the last few years, and it feels like Groundhog Day. You know, we're back again, but talking about the fate of the euro and, by extension, the fate of President Obama in the sense that Angela Merkel, who Forbes magazine just named as the most powerful woman in the world a second year in a row, seems to hold his fate in her hands in as much as she holds the fate of the euro, but everybody's on vacation, I take it, in August, and there's a run on the euro.
Well, there is absolutely correct what you say, and that actually indicates how leadership is wanting in the European community. What we know is that both Angela Merkel and those who are responsible in running the European institutions in Brussels don't really have a clue what to do. They have started this crisis. They haven't handled it right. And it continues to be a problem, which at the end, either we will see the dissolution of the euro or perhaps what is most desirable is to see a federal union along the lines of the United States of America. That's the only way United States of Europe can work, where a currency will become a currency of a nation, as opposed to each member state government to be divorced from its currency, which is the largest experiment that has ever been attempted. And as we see, the results are not very encouraging.
But as we speak, Europe's in the midst of a massive run on bank deposits in Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and Ireland. And it's all but impossible for the banks in these countries to cover the losses that are ballooning national deficits and debt to levels that we've never seen before.
You know, this was actually pointed out by someone in 1997. This is a perfect situation where by having a run on the banks, you will end up having one bank actually accumulating all the reserves, and all the other central banks from which the runs are being performed, you will have deficits will have to be covered by the European Central Bank. So the balance sheet of the European Central Bank has this assets, so to speak, of the liabilities of the other national central banks. But of course, we will get stuck with the bill because the regional national banks don't have the capacity to print their own money. So since ECB is the only bank that can print money, it's basically going to get stuck. And who is the major government or the major country in the European Union? Germany. So Germany is actually going to get the bill. And since they know they will get the bill, they are not interested in getting the bill. So this is why most people see a doomsday for the euro.
So in other words, the German banks are getting the money, right, from Spain and Italy. Yes. Spain is
That's
just
where the deposits are being made. Right.
And for the last 5 months, as you point out in your article in The Nation, Papadimitriou, Europe's highway to hell, that in the last 5 months of this year, about 163 billion euros have left Spanish banks for German banks. So Germany's getting the money, but they're not going to pay the bill.
They can't pay the bill. Up to the end of May, they had accumulated over 720 billion reserves. This is Target 2 reserves. That, you know, they're on the mirror image of this are in minuses in other national central banks. So the ECB has trillions of these extensions. And if these countries have a banking system which is on the brink, you know, of course, who's going to get stuck with the bill? And that's why it is most important that to avoid having this bank run is to have a pan-European deposit insurance along the lines that we have in the United States. Therefore, if you do that, there's no difference between a German euro, a Greek euro, or a Spanish euro. Now, everyone knows that the Greek euro is not worth the same as the German euro, or the same as the Spanish euro, or the French euro. So you have these differences, and the only way you can avoid that is if you have a deposit insurance covering all European banks. It will eliminate the bank runs overnight. Of course, Germany is refusing to do this, because if the banks, in effect, in Greece, go bankrupt, they will get stuck with the bill. Because they guarantee the deposit insurance if it's pan-European and Germany is the strongest economy, of course, they will get stuck with the bill. And that's the problem.
But it's so logical that if you're a Greek holding Greek euros or a Spaniard holding Spanish euros, and you know that that they're depreciating by the day, but if you can then deposit them in a German bank and they won't depreciate, it's no wonder there's a run going on.
Absolutely. But that is how the system was actually by design. It has a flawed design. And therefore, they should have known that it was pointed out to them. But somehow they thought that this was going to be the first step. The second step would be a fiscal union and ultimately a political union. But, you know, they stopped at a monetary union. You cannot have a monetary union without a fiscal union. And you cannot have a fiscal union along the lines of Chancellor Merkel, which is that every single member state has to balance its books and it has to have trade surpluses. Every country cannot have a trade surplus unless countries have trade deficits, unless you expect that trade deficits would occur outside of the Eurozone, which is a fallacy, and it's actually a naive notion to make. And this is how it was originally set up, in a very naive setup. And, you know, Germans do believe that, unfortunately, there's no spectacular leadership in Germany. It's in very short supply. And things become worse when you hear pronouncements coming from the vice chancellor who says, well, we are prepared with the Greek exit. Well, the markets are not prepared for the Greek exit of the euro, and that's why we see the choppy waters that's happening in the markets.
Again, I'm speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, the president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He has an article and the nation, Europe's highway to hell. And of course, you talk about a lack of leadership. Nevertheless, Forbes magazine, for a second year in a row, have named German Chancellor Angela Merkel as the most powerful woman in the world, the Iron Lady of Europe. She, of course, is meeting with President François Hollande of France and is about to meet the Greek Prime Minister, Antonis Samaras, following Hollande to Berlin tomorrow, and then travel on to Paris on August the 25th. So at least they're not on vacation, right?
They can't, you know. But on the other hand, these meetings, I think they're it's bad theater. You know, the Greek Prime Minister knows that he has to do whatever is possible to convince them that they need to ease the terms. And I think at the end they will ease the terms, given the fact that the Greek economy will be experiencing a almost 7%, even higher decline in GDP, which means it is the fifth year of a recession. It is really depression. It is not possible to meet those obligations. So they also will realize, because they're not prepared really for Greece to leave the euro. They have no idea what the repercussions will be, and they don't know whether Spain will follow. Spain is a big hot potato, and unfortunately they don't really know how to deal with it, because the Spanish prime minister represents a big country. And therefore, after him, it is Italy. So they have no idea what it is, despite these silly pronouncements that are being made by Philip Rosler, who I don't think has a clue what he's talking about.
Now, tell me who he is.
He is the Vice Chancellor of Germany.
Oh, the Vice Chancellor of Germany. So, right. So Dimitri Papadimitriou, everything that you've talked about in terms of these meetings and kicking the can down the road and giving Greece, leaving the door open to more concessions for Greece, none of this seems to be dealing with the central problem, which you've written about in your article and which we've been discussing here today, and that is the run on the euro.
Yes. That is not going to solve the problem, but I think what will solve the problem is basically to be able to make the pronouncements and to make the European institutions really know what it means to have a monetary union and ultimately a fiscal union, which means you cannot insist on the austerity measures for all these countries. Because even if these countries, even if Greece, for instance, turns around and has a primary surplus, which will achieve, it cannot service that debt. That debt is now at over 153% as of the end of June, and it is growing. It is not possible to service it. We see that Spain, that has a much smaller debt and has very high interest rates. You know, the interest rates go down with some pronouncement from Mr. Draghi that he will do whatever it needs to be done in order to save the euro. And then there's a German pronouncement that says, well, we're not going to go along with that. We're not going to allow the ECB to buy indiscriminately bonds from Spain or bonds from Italy. And then the markets go back again and the interest rates go up. So it is a mixture of policy from people who basically are extremely naive. And one would have thought politicians are really smart or shrewd. And I think there's a very much short supply in Europe.
Well, in terms of confidence in the market and shoring up confidence in the market, yesterday Angela Merkel said in Moldova that we won't find solutions on Friday. So, I mean, to me, that's the opposite of... I mean, when are they going to find solutions?
I don't know whether we'll find solutions. This is why everybody is actually scratching their heads, because it is impossible to see that such a lack of leadership. And, you know, it's not only actually that one sees in the Eurozone. It's even outside of the Eurozone. I mean, Poland and Estonia and others who really are aspiring to go to join the Eurozone are making pronouncements that we should be very hard towards those countries that have not carried out the reforms that they've agreed to carry out. And even though the entire Eurozone is actually in recession, even Germany only shows 0.3% of growth. Now, this is not growth. Think about how much exports they have, and they still have this low anemic growth. So things are very bad. So I'm not so sure I can answer your question when it will happen. It will happen only when a big country such as Spain or Italy raises the specter of leaving the euro.
So we already know from the U.S. economy, which is not doing well but doing better than Europe, that the big drag on the U.S. economy, interestingly enough, is, for example, with Ford and GM having substantial profits here at home but having to offset profits with massive losses in their plants in Europe.
In Europe, absolutely. But one thing we can say about America is that at least the financial sector in America has delevered from the European exposure. Now, the real economy, of course, will have repercussions, and that's why we see the financial markets in the United States responding to the difficulties in Europe. But at least to some extent, we know that our financial system is not in any jeopardy. The international financial system might be in jeopardy. Therefore, the Federal Reserve will step in and extend swap agreements and so on. But the fact is that's not a solution. It's a Band-Aid, and it's exactly what you said earlier, kicking the can on the road. But, you know, the road now is becoming steeper. So it's very difficult to keep kicking the road. It's not really on the incline that it is appropriate to have an easy kicking down the road.
So, Dmitry Papadimitriou, give us a time frame. I mean, obviously, the White House is nervous as a cat that Netanyahu is going to attack Iran, and that could have...
My expectation is that subsequent to the beginning, or at least in a couple of weeks, when we were in September, and everybody's back from vacation, and we have the looming November election of the United States, where I can see Tim Geithner and others traveling to Europe to begin to establish more pressure for a solution, at least to not affect the November U.S. elections.
So in other words...
Whether they'll be able to have a solution that would make sense, it's not clear.
So in other words, we don't know whether Netanyahu is bluffing or he really doesn't plan on attacking Iran. We know that that would probably have detrimental effects for the White House.
Absolutely.
But we do know more about Europe. We do know that the clock is really ticking on how long this, and this bank run will continue to accelerate, won't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The expectation is that sometime in September, Spain will ask for a bailout.
So, and that's when you say that'll get Merkel's attention.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But you point out in your article in The Nation, Europe's Highway to Hell, Dmitry Papadimitriou, that Europe's trip down the highway to hell began with this original sin, which is, of course, what we were talking about earlier, with having this common currency, but no means for each country to balance its books, if you will.
Right.
And give us some sense then about what you think could be done. I know you've got some proposals here how to counteract this disaster.
I expect that if indeed cooler heads prevail, that there will be a federation of states as we are in the United States, with a federal U.S. Treasury, which will report to the European Parliament. And the Europarlament will have a much bigger budget than the 1% that it now controls, something of the order of the United States, which is close to 15 to 20%. Then things will be different, and the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development will begin for some growth projects, some euro bonds for growth projects, and starting to get actually the European Union in what it ought to be, as opposed to what they think it is now. I think that they understand, and it's a question of, you know, it's plain chicken, who is actually going to move first.
Well, isn't that what the Germans have been doing all along?
I mean, yes, but I think the end of the game is very close.
So what's happening, though, in terms of atmospherics between the two countries? Because in the Greek press, there's been some scathing comparisons to the Nazi occupation of Greece during World War II and the current economic crisis and the extent to which they feel, the Greeks feel, the Germans are putting the screws to them. And also you had, as you mentioned, the deputy chancellor, more or less saying that Greece can drop off the cliff. Is that going to quieten down, or is that going to get worse?
I thought unless there's a real solution, it would actually get worse. People are basically fed up with all these austerity measures, and they don't see any recognition that after, you know, the GDP in Greece has actually declined by 20%. People have lost fortunes. People don't have increased poverty to over 30%. Unemployment is skyrocketing. You know, there's a limit to how much people will accept. And therefore, you will expect some hostilities between the southern Europe and the northern part of Europe. Because it's not only Germany. The Netherlands are the same, and Finland. The representatives from Finland respond the same way, not only to Greece, but also to Spain. So I don't think this is going to continue.
Well, just in closing, this is all, most of it comes from the fact that banks made bad loans, and the countries out of which these banks operate got stuck with the bill. It happened in Ireland first with a bad real estate loan. It happened in Spain with a real estate bubble. I think the situation in Greece is somewhat different. But at the end of the day, this is all about bailing out banks. And the banks get off scot-free. I suppose the same thing happened here with the 2008 crash. But the people get screwed. I mean, is that equation ever going to change?
No, it won't change, unfortunately, because we don't have a good regulatory structure. You're absolutely right what you said. Banks extended loans to countries because they thought that the risk was the same as if they were extending to Germany, as if they were extending to France, because they thought that with the euro, the countries are going to converge. It is true that inflation did converge. We have a very low inflation. But the real economy, the real variables, unemployment, growth, and the rest, did not converge. And therefore, since ultimately the loans had been extended to for the capital development of a real economy, if the real economy is not doing well, the risk is different. And therefore, this is what happened, underpricing the risk, and now we have to basically bail out the banks because they underpriced risk, and exactly what we did in the United States with the mortgage-backed securities. No different.
Well, Dimitri Papadimitriou, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, the president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He has testified on a number of occasions in hearings of Senate and House of Representatives committees of the U.S. Congress and was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission and was a member of the Competitiveness Policy Council Subcommittee on Capital Allocation. He has an article in The Nation, Europe's Highway to Hell. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back in a moment talking about the Pew study that indicates that the middle class has shrunk, the rich have gotten richer, and the poor have gotten poorer.
And full of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.